Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is bobburnspeaks.com, and I'm inviting you to listen to my show at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoons on Hutterton Chamber Radio, entitled Awaken to Your Purpose. How many people walk through life awake and knowing why they were incarnated here in this beautiful planet? Not a lot of people do. I was in my late 40s by the time I found out, but now I know. So listen to the show, and maybe that'll promote you to awaken to your purpose. And thank you so much.
Hello, and now the weather. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 14. Northwest wind around 6 miles per hour, becoming calm in the evening. It's a chilly one. Put on your sweaters.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hutterton Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hutterton-chamber.org.
Okay, and welcome everyone. This is Healthy Hutterton with Kim Blanda. It's been a while. I hope you all had a good holiday and that you did some small changes that had a big impact on your health over the holiday. For those of you who don't know me, I've only been on the air about 6 months now. And the purpose of Healthy Hutterton is really just to try to influence our residents here in Hutterton County and beyond to live a healthier lifestyle, whatever that means for you. Maybe it's eating a little healthier. Maybe it's getting up and moving a bit. Maybe it's getting more sleep. Maybe it's reducing your stress. So we try to bring you helpful hints and information that you can share with your family, your friends, your community, to just live a healthier lifestyle. So today I'm very excited to have in the studio Leslie Gable, who is the co-CEO of Hutterton No Longer Prevention Resources. They just changed their name recently. So for those that you knew them as Hutterton Prevention Resources, they are now Prevention Resources. And Leslie is also in charge of Safe Communities Coalition, which we'll talk about in a little while. But today we're talking about a very serious subject and one that may be close to many of your hearts, which is really drug and alcohol misuse. We'll be talking a little bit about what's going on in the county, in the nation. Very important information. I know that we've all been touched by this issue in some way, whether it's a neighbor, a friend, or maybe, you know, God forbid, a family member. Something really, really important. So I thought it was important to bring it to the show. And welcome, Leslie. I'll have Leslie introduce herself.
Well, thank you. First of all, thank you to Kim for inviting us. We certainly always appreciate the opportunity to get to speak to the community about the concerns that we see, which is a nation really turning a lot to pain medications, which has really fueled the opioid crisis. And in our agency, I'm one of many that gets to work with some incredible people in our county and lots of different partnerships in an effort to try to make our community a safer and healthier place through reducing substance use. I came actually into, I've been now part of Prevention Resources, actually going on almost 10 years now.
Wow.
Yeah. So this has been, you know, been an incredible journey. When I started 10 years ago, I thought, well, you know, this doesn't seem to be like a, you know, a huge problem, you know, that I wasn't going to spend too much time. And once I really started to be educated and understand what the community issues were, realizing really how much we needed to all work together to make it a better place. So that's kind of been our mission, and as well as all my colleagues and partners that we work with really have a strong passion to try and help people.
Yeah, Leslie, I think you bring up a really good point, which is when you first started thinking that this wasn't a huge problem here. Mm-hmm. Many of us know that Hutterton has been deemed the healthiest county for 7 years in a row. We're an affluent county, so we think, you know, we live in the bubble. Can you speak to that a little bit more about what the issues are in Hunterdon County specifically?
Sure. In our county, it was interesting. When we were awarded a grant called the Drug-Free Communities Grant, which we're in our ninth year, about to start our tenth. And we have to do a needs assessment to really understand what's going on in the community and our something that's called community readiness. And when we went out into the community to talk with concerned citizens, people really didn't want to talk about alcohol or underage drinking. And they had other concerns about more illicit type of drugs that they didn't see alcohol as a problem. Really, in our county, alcohol is the number one reason, according to the New Jersey SAMHS, which is Substance Abuse Monitoring System, of why people are in treatment. It's an indicator. It's certainly not all of the data of why people are in treatment, but it really gives an indicator. And the number one reason in Hunterdon County, actually dating back to 2009, is alcohol. And in fact, we're almost double the rate of the state average of why people are in treatment. So alcohol, which is a legal substance, really continues to plague our community. A lot of teens' perception of harm is it's not so bad. I will say the one thing we do well in our county is a lot of youth do not drink and drive. There's been tremendous education through the time, I guess, since children are really small, but that doesn't stop them using on private property, which has really been a way that our work has been to try to really educate people that just because it's legal for older adults, there's a lot of harm that comes to our youth.
Right, right. So speaking about alcohol consumption, I've heard this term binge drinking. What is binge drinking? And I've heard that we have very high rates of binge drinking. Can you talk about that?
So binge drinking is defined as how many drinks people would have, for example, in a week. Eight or more, for example, for a female is considered binge drinking. Double that for a male. So, really, in simple terms, you can give all the math and the numbers for different people, but here's what I want to come back and say. If somebody's drinking at a high rate for the purposes of getting intoxicated or self-soothing and coping, that's an issue, whether they meet that number or not. And everybody's body's different on how they actually handle alcohol. That's really where the concern is. And a lot of our teens now are not just drinking to be social. They're drinking to get drunk. And that's really a huge issue that we have in the community because under the influence of alcohol, they have a tendency to start experimenting with other substances because their decision-making is just absolutely impaired.
Right. When you talk about teenage drinking, where do you think they're getting the alcohol from?
Our research has shown, based upon focus groups with law enforcement as well as youth, I will say, on a good note, is we really do have very responsible beverage distribution points. No one is really going in and selling, they're not selling to minors.
Okay, that's good.
And so that's a really great thing. We have responsible business owners that really do their part to ensure that they're looking at IDs properly. The majority of people really do get it from people who are over 21, whether it be a sibling, a friend that's over 21, or take it from their parents when their parents aren't aware. And in some occasions, their parents are aware because they think, well, if I take the keys and keep everyone safe at home, then I'm going to go ahead rather than drink here.
Right.
And that's where a big further conversation debate goes. When I'm in the community, I get asked that a lot, that isn't it better if I keep them safe at home and by taking the keys? Well, things happen within households that a lot of people don't take into the consideration as far as you don't know what other medications people are on when they're coming into your home. Sexual assaults that occur in people's homes, they don't realize what has happened to them. There's so many other things that that can happen in someone's home that they think that driving's the number one thing, which it is, but there's so many other accidents that happen as well. So the other main point that I always speak to other parents in the community about is that it is illegal. Whether you want to agree with it or not, and what we're doing is we're teaching our youth that it's okay not to follow all the laws.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I know even with my own kids, that's ultimately what I say to them. Like, it's against the law, and we follow the law in our household. So,
well, the other kind of analogy I get is we don't teach our teens which stop signs to stop at. We stop at all of them, and it's very simple. And that is the conversation I've had with a lot of our youth. That we engage is that these laws were put in place as a reason to be safe. In fact, that's why they raised the drinking age to 21, and they raised it across the nation is because it saves lives. You know, and there was a push a few years back to actually take the drinking age and lower it. Mm-hmm. That actually was back to 18. That really came from a lot of college campuses because there were people, unfortunately, dying due to alcohol and the fear of calling out for help. One thing that New Jersey did years ago, which was they enacted a law called the 911 Lifeline legislation. And what that law says, still in existence today, is if a minor needs help due to alcohol, they can reach out and call, and they will not be prosecuted against. They stay with the person that needs help to help first responders. And it wasn't a way to say, we think that it's okay to drink. It was a way to save lives and also to remove that barrier that they could call for help. Additionally, it was also a way in New Jersey to keep that drinking age at 21.
Yeah, yeah. So we need to take a break in about 3 minutes, but can you just address, I've seen some signs around town that say those who host lose the most. Can mm-hmm. you talk about what that is?
As part of our effort in our community to raise the awareness to parents, it's a national campaign that there's many risks involved. We have a whole education program that we do in the community geared towards parents that if they're providing alcohol on their property, there's other ramifications, not just breaking the law, but of civic and all the liabilities that could come into place. So it's a way to raise awareness and engage in what the laws truly are and the ramifications that could happen to them as well as to the youth that they're providing for.
Right. Can you tell me in the next, let's say we have 2 more minutes. I'm making sure that we do our commercials today because I get yelled at if I don't get them in there. That's for Chris Bianco, if you're listening. Shout out.
I'm sure he'll appreciate that.
Shout out. Yes, he does.
Yeah.
But just briefly talk a little bit about the Safe Communities Coalition and what your mission is.
Sure. The Safe Communities Coalition mission, in simple terms, is to reduce substance use in our community, focus also on underage drinking, opiates, which are pain relievers, heroin, prescription drugs, and marijuana. That is currently our focus, and it's really to work on environmental strategies, which is creating policies within the community to help reduce and misuse of substances.
Okay. And I also heard that you have a youth division of this coalition.
We do, and that's opened up to all high school students, and we work across the county. I'm sure most people will agree peer-to-peer is a much stronger communication than adults trying to educate teens or raise the awareness of the issues. And also, let's face it, teens have some incredible ways on social media to communicate. So we engage our youth, and we are really looking to expand and have special task force to work with other entities. In fact, with the Partnership for Health is a new partnership where we're trying to really engage about small impacts, small changes, large impacts to really start moving about a healthier way to live.
Absolutely. So then any teen can join that organization, that coalition?
They can. And they can reach out to our agency. Our phone number is 908-782-3909. And for more information, you can also visit our website, which is www.safecoalition.org.
All right. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back with Healthy Hunterdon.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton, Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
All right, and we are back with Healthy Hunterdon. We have Leslie Gable in the studio here from Prevention Resources, and we are talking about all things related to alcohol and substance misuse. During the break, Leslie and I were chatting, and we definitely want to move on to the subject of opioids because that has been a huge topic nationally in the state and even in our area with overdoses and just horrible, horrible stories. So, Leslie, what can you tell us about that?
Well, you know, when they talk about, first of all, I'd like to talk about terms, because sometimes we use terms, especially in our line of work, and we don't realize that the general population might not understand what those are. So when we talk about opioids or opiates, they are basically in the same category as heroin, prescription pain pills. They are not medications you might use, for example, for heart or cholesterol or anything like that. So when we're talking about prescription drugs that are, you know, in the opioid category, that's what we're referring to. It's okay. A certain classification. So really looking at what is really affecting our nation as a whole, last year in 2017, 64,000 Americans died of a drug overdose. That includes includes prescription drugs, misusing prescription drugs. 64% of that was due to an opioid-based type of drug. So, again, that is quite significant. To give everyone a point of reference, approximately 58,000 Americans died in Vietnam.
Wow.
And so it really, again, I mentioned we are very informed about this, and it's in a tremendous amount of lives lost. And when we talk about statistics and numbers, it's somebody's loved one. It's a brother, a sister, a mother, a father. It affects all age range. The substances, it does not discriminate. And a lot of people try to look for explanations, but why someone starts is so different. But prescription drugs really has fueled this opioid crisis because the availability in home medicine cabinets, which is 70% of teens actually start misusing prescription drugs from home medicine cabinets, which is why our coalition really is emphasizing about safe storage. And that's really taking these medications that are very vulnerable to people visiting your home to try to acquire, to lock them up.
Yeah,
you know, most people keep their medicines that are and not realizing the danger of them. But I would tell you the medicines, especially to keep safe in storage, are any type of pain medications, any type of antidepressants is another one. Any type of Xanax, for example, is also something teens commonly also seek after. And also, believe it or not, is over-the-counter cough medicine. And that's something that most people, you know, the general community doesn't understand, that teens actually misuse cough medicine. They drink them in volumes to get high. There's a chemical in there, and I'm sure I'll get a lot of people cringing because my pronunciation will probably screw it up, but it's called dextromorphorethin. commonly known as DXM. Mm-hmm. And in fact, in the state of New Jersey, a great legislation that was changed is you have to show your ID to be 18 or over now to buy any type of cold medicine that contains that chemical. And we that law was changed as a way to, you know, really strongly discourage youth from acquiring the medication. So if you have something such as that, that's just as dangerous in some regards as some of these other medications that you need to keep it locked, locked up.
Right. It seems like teens especially are very creative and doing strange things with household products.
You could say it's stupid. They do stupid things. They can't help it. They're a teenager.
We have teens, so we can talk about them.
We can certainly say that. But, you know, a lot of people also mention, oh, well, you know, my teens, I don't have a problem with them. Here's what I also want to emphasize is never say not my child. So many influences change during the teenage years. You just want to give them the, you know, when they're little babies, we lock things up. We put we secure cabinets so they don't get into dangerous chemicals. Well, this is just as the same. Yeah. And that also goes for, by the way, people, you know, visiting your home. Most people just aren't thinking that their own, but people visiting. So safe storage is very important. But before we even, like, go further, let's talk about why the opiate crisis is the way it is.
Okay.
Because most people don't quite get the understanding is, well, you know, well, they're heroin users. You know, no one starts off saying that they're going to be a heroin user.
Right.
No one.
Right.
And in New Jersey, the purity rate of heroin is very, very high. So you can get hooked on New Jersey heroin much easier than, say, in the Midwest because of where it comes in the ports. The other thing is what happens is because it's the same, affects the same region of the brain, pain medications and heroin become a drug of kind of like an evolution. So what happens is as when someone gets addicted to prescription pain pills and they start off thinking that it's safe, they started off thinking it was prescribed by a doctor, so it can't be so bad. Then what happens is the cost. They can't afford it anymore. In fact, on the street, for example, an OxyContin, codeine, that type of pain medication can sell for $22 on the street for one pain pill. A bag of heroin can, in this area, as cheap as $5.
Wow. So you mentioned that these things are originally prescribed. What kinds of things would bring somebody to have to take these types of medications?
Well, it would be anything, you know, and I will say, and I do want to emphasize that our community has gotten much better at prescribing practices, but it could be a simple thing as your wisdom teeth out to, you know, back pain. You've hurt yourself, any type of orthopedic, constant, any type of pain-related injury you might have had. People save things for a rainy day. They also don't want to have to repay to refill a prescription, so they hold on to these medications, and most people don't know what to do with them. So we'll definitely talk about safe disposals. But I will emphasize that these medications affect people so differently. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, myself, I take some of these pain medicines. They make me very ill. Mm-hmm. Someone else might not have that reaction, and it's very difficult to know who's going to have what type of response. Other people, once they take it, it's easier to cope. They're having difficulty managing their pain. Americans don't want to be in pain. Mm-hmm. And that's really kind of what happened across the nation. They call it, when you talk to anyone in the DEA, a perfect storm. A lot of hospital systems and medical practices are rated on patient satisfaction. And patients are, you know, don't want to be in pain. And everyone's pain, your pain compared to mine, you might say you're at a 7, I could be at a 4.
Right.
And how do you manage that? It is a subjective, and doctors, you know, and each doctor has their own prescribing. But in New Jersey in 2017, Governor Christie did sign a law into place limiting opiate pills and how many they can get on an initial prescription.
Okay.
So that was a significant law changed here. I will tell you, too, 8 out of 10 new heroin users have started with a prescription opiate pain pill. And that's kind of why there's been such a huge push to change some of the, you know, the core problems of where it came from is the availability.
Right.
Just to give you a idea of availability in the United States, which I think this is just always astounding. You know, the United States, we make up the 5% of the world population, and we consume 99% of the world's supply of hydrocodone.
Oh, my goodness.
And 80% of, like I mentioned, of these new heroin users in the U.S. are started with an opiate pain pill. And that is just
That is crazy.
I mean, listen to that. 99% of the world's supply is here in the United States. We consume it. So when we talk about availability, home medicine cabinets, where they are, you also talk about drug trafficking. As I mentioned, you know, there's a profit to be had. And the reason I mention that is that these pills on the street go for a lot more money. Some people, early on users, want to have those pills because those pills are balanced mm-hmm. of what's in those drugs. You get a bag of heroin, you don't know what's in it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, do you think people feel like the prescription drugs are safer because it does come from a doctor, from a pharmacy?
It is. It's perceived as very safe. I mean, we were raised in it, and you know, most people are raised, you don't feel where here's some medicine, feel better, and carry on sort of thing. And no one really was ever raised or trained to ask their doctors about alternatives.
Right.
And in fact, we actually have some new funding for our coalition to work with the older adult population to really help educate on the alternatives to opiate pain medicines. There's so many other things, and research has shown through acupuncture, through yoga, through different types of physical therapy. And there's so many. And again, what works for one person will be different for another, but there's alternatives to managing pain rather than through medications.
Right.
And I do want to emphasize, there are certain situations that require these opiates for a short term, but they weren't intended to be a long-term pain management. Originally,
Absolutely.
These opiates were end-of-life type of pain medications, yep. and then somehow they became an everyday use to maintain life. And nowhere is anyone also understanding what happens when you get behind the wheel of a car being under this influence.
Yeah, that's scary. Definitely.
It really is. And give you an idea, you know, we talked about the nation, New Jersey. Approximately 128,000 people are addicted to heroin prescription drugs in the state of New Jersey. Age of experimentation on average is 18 to 25 years old, although we know in some cases it starts younger. I mean, we've had people overdose up to age 70 in this county. So when I say it doesn't discriminate in age, race, it absolutely doesn't. So I also want to talk about something called naloxone, or Narcan, what some folks might have heard, which is a reversal drug that can be used to reverse an opiate overdose. It can only be used for an opiate. If you have an overdose from cocaine or methamphetamine, it is not effective. It's because this medication really works on the brain receptors where the opioids are affecting the high.
Okay.
And this actually is a drug that's available to anyone in the community. So it is, and we'll talk a little bit more about after the break what we do here in this county. But know that this drug is actually dispensed 30 times a day on average in New Jersey
wow.
of overdoses.
Yeah, that is.
And
that's
not getting to every overdose. It's just the ones we can get to in time.
Wow. I think it's also important for people to remember that they don't have to take the prescription. You know, if their child got the wisdom teeth out and the doctor is handing you a prescription for Percocet or some other opioid, you know, you can choose to say, no, you know what? I don't think they need it. Or take the prescription and not fill it and see how the child does. But there are other things that can be used that are non-opioid pain relievers. And it's okay sometimes to have a little bit of pain.
Well, and I think our nation and our community really just are really starting to take that shift in that term, which is
yeah.
very much needed.
Yeah. All right. We're going to hear the news now.
USA Radio News.
People are very happy with what we've done, not only on the tax bill, but also cutting of regulations. And I think also being a cheerleader for our country. You know, if you're not a cheerleader for your company or for your country, no matter what happens, it's not going to work.
President Donald Trump, as he wraps up what was a very busy day for the president, tomorrow now the president will address the World Economic Forum, this all taking place in Switzerland. The news of the flu seems to be getting worse. A new study suggests that the risk of a heart attack dramatically increases for people who are suffering from influenza. That's according to USA Today. Dr. Mark Siegel says if you haven't received your flu shot, well, you still have time to get it, and it will help.
There's still time for you to get the yearly flu vaccine. And did you know that usually 80 to 85% of the children who tragically die from the flu were not vaccinated?
For all of these stories and more, please check out USARadio.com. This is USA Radio News.
When it comes to growing my business, I've got a plan. Step one, be smarter about how I spend my money. Step two, go to my local Staples for office supplies. Why? See step one.
Staples has lots of smart ways to save your business money. Right now, get a 10-ring case of Staples brand printer paper for just $24.99, a savings of $33. So stock up and save.
Another smart move? Use a cart, because paper's kind of heavy.
Staples. Shopping smart equals saving big. Valid on SKU 513096. Ends 1/27/18. Instro only.
GEICO presents eyewitness interviews with inanimate objects.
This is Brian Bruno live on the scene of a recently flooded basement, here to describe the event, a tube sock.
So I'm curled up in a cozy pile of whites when the washing machine suddenly starts shimmying and shaking. Next thing I know, we're standing in 4 inches of water.
Did you help clean up?
Sure, but I'm just one sock.
A tube sock can't help you with a flooded basement, but the GEICO Insurance Agency can help you get covered for personal property damage. Call GEICO to see how affordable homeowners insurance can be.
Olympic gymnast Allie Raisman said disgraced Dr. Larry Nassar deserved to spend the rest of his life in prison, but insisted more needs to be done to uncover how he managed to sexually abuse scores of young girls and athletes in his care. Raisman talked about what it was like to testify against Nassar in the courtroom.
You know, I was talking about this with my mom, and I said in that moment, I almost felt like I was going to compete, because at the Olympics, you block out everything. And In that moment, I blocked out everything. I forgot that people were watching me. I forgot the media was over there. I forgot that Larry was right there. And I just spoke, and I felt like I really had to be strong. I feel a responsibility.
House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, who often rails against income inequality and calls on the wealthy to pay its fair share in taxes, went to great lengths to preserve a tax break for her two multimillion-dollar homes. That's according to the Center for Responsive Politics. This is USA Radio News.
You know, when the Israelites got to the desert, they were given manna from heaven. Well, we may not have manna, but we do have New Manna. In these uncertain times, become food independent with New Manna's long-term storable food. Healthy, nutritious, dense meals, organic, non-GMO, taste great, and last for over 25 years. Oh, and gluten-free is available. Order now and get 20% off, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just use promo code WAR. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775, or go to newmanna.com.
Starting in February, many Americans are going to start seeing more money in their paychecks, and this is all due to the tax cut that President Trump signed late last year. Many companies also gave their employees bonuses. About 2 million people received a bonus check from the likes of AT&T or other companies. Some Democrats have said these companies were already planning on giving bonuses, so those checks, they were no big deal. Wilbur Ross is the Commerce Secretary. He addresses that issue.
They have no alternative but to make up fiction. But eventually, facts overcome fiction. And I think the fellow who just got a $1,000 check doesn't care what the left-wing media says. Right. And the person who gets a tax cut in the next withholding, he or she is also not going to care what the left-wing media says.
A California state judge is poised to declare coffee cancerous in the coming months. A law passed in the state in 1986 requires businesses and public places to post warning signs if anything on the premises is found to be potentially harmful. While some studies have found coffee to be carcinogenic, Dr. Steven Gruber says not so fast.
What we found in our study was that coffee was associated with a reduced risk of cancer of the colon and rectum.
Dr. Gruber talks about Prop 65 in California.
Prop 65 lists compounds simply to draw attention to them, but in fact, there's no evidence that acrylamide causes cancer in humans.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
All right, and we are back with Healthy Hunter, and we're supposed to do a weather break, so I'm just going to tell you, I'm looking out the window. It's still sunny, and it's still cold, so you still need that sweater, maybe a scarf and some gloves. We are here in the studio today with Leslie Gable, and we are talking about all things related to alcohol and substance abuse. It's a really heavy topic today, but something everyone needs to listen to, educate themselves about, and definitely talk to their children about. Okay, Leslie, you were going to start talking about Narcan.
Narcan is the reversal drug for a opiate overdose. And we were talking about in 2016, on average, in the state of New Jersey, 30 times a day Narcan was being used, which is over 11,000 administrations per year. That has gone up for 2017. Wow. And our officers in Hunterdon County, our prosecutor, did a really good push out into our communities to get all of our officers to carry this, as they are one of the first ones on the scenes. Narcan is also available to a family if you have a loved one or a concern of someone using. I want to emphasize that this is a life-saving drug to get somebody the help that they need. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people say, well, isn't this just fueling or enabling? I just tell them, if it was your loved one, you would want someone to get the help that they need and hopefully get them to the hospital.
Absolutely.
And, heroin users or anyone using a substance, it's not a life they want to lead. It's a life that they can't get out of. And I know often people will say to us, well, it's a choice. It might have been a choice or one of their first decisions that led them on a path. But once they're on a path, it is incredibly difficult to get off. And a lot of people to ask us, which treatment is better. It is very much individualized based on that person. And what works for one person is going to not necessarily be the same as others. You know, we also ask, can't you force people into treatment? It really won't work. It really has to be that person's, wanting to get better. A lot of people, if they loved me, they would do more. It really becomes, it's a chemical addiction which changes their brain. Their decision-making is not the same. So all the love and support is certainly needed, but the understanding and getting them professional help.
Yeah, you hear a lot of people say, when they hear about something that's happened, maybe there was an overdose or something, and they'll say, I don't understand, that was such a good family. I know the mom or I know the dad, or... But it's not about that. You can be the best family in the world.
It is absolutely not about that. And how we all cope and how we manage situations, it's different. And I tell you, I think taking the stigma away would be one of my biggest messages, is to know and embrace the people that need our help as a community and our understanding.
Right.
And the people that are in this fight need help. And they can, we have to stop judging and removing this, that, when somebody's ill in the community, people run to everyone's help.
Yep.
But when it comes to addiction, it becomes very judgmental.
Yep.
And that is our hope, to try to get that conversation changed and be able to support those in recovery and do whatever it takes to help them stay in recovery.
Right. You had mentioned that there's some sort of protection act. Can you just talk about that?
Yes. We earlier were talking about alcohol, the 911 Lifeline legislation. Well, shortly after the Lifeline legislation, which our coalition was, been doing a lot to educate our teens. And I'll tell you, we go into high schools and we tell people, have you ever heard of this? And no one raises their hand. Mm-hmm. So as many people can talk to their teens to know that if they're in need of help, they call 911. They will not be prosecuted against. They need the help to save a life. I always say, we don't pick and choose who lives here. We call for help. And that's the message we drive home to our teens. Well, the question started to come up with a lot of teens. Well, what if I have an illegal drug on me? I don't want to call. Mm-hmm. The Good Samaritan Act was put in place, and that is a law that anyone needing help, again, includes all substances, will not be prosecuted against if they're calling for help.
Okay.
And because a lot of people were leaving the scene because they didn't want to get arrested, or they were under the influence themselves. But the Overdose Protection Act helps, which is part of the Good Samaritan Act, which is really to call for help.
Right. I mean, I think ultimately it's important that we're just making sure that if we have an opportunity to save a life, that we're, taking that opportunity and not worrying so much about the consequences. So that law really kind of covers you in that circumstance.
And it's also, the people that are there helping as well. A lot of times people want to give a number. I'm certainly not a lawyer, and don't ever try to pretend to be one. But I will tell you, first responders and law enforcement want to save a life.
Yeah,
absolutely. We really have some great partners here in our community.
We do.
And that is one of their number one concerns. A lot of young people panic and they don't know what to do. And our officers are here to help you.
Yeah.
And I'd like to remind people that that is the reason they go into the line of work, is to keep our community safe and to save lives.
Yeah, I would agree 100%. You know, there's probably a lot of parents listening out there, and we talked how this can really affect any family from any background. What are some of the warning signs that parents can look out for to get an idea if they think something's going on with their child, or kind of things to look out for?
Well, the first thing I want to emphasize is any warning sign can be numerous things, right? Okay. If you try to Google online, if you're having some sort of physical symptom, it could tell you you might have like 50,000 things, right?
So that's true.
Let me emphasize, it's really putting the puzzle together. In fact, when we talk with a lot of families when their loved one was arrested for substance, you know, distribution, they were shocked. They had no idea. But when they started to piece the puzzle together, the warning signs came up. Yeah. Like, for example, if there's little white pieces of cotton, a mom was saying, I'm always picking up these pieces of cotton out of my child's room. I don't know why this fuzz is everywhere. Well, it could be filtrations that they're using for, you know, as far as with the heroin. You know, increased mileage on someone's car where they're going to buy. Missing prescriptions is a huge one. Okay. Out of home medicine cabinets. They're not going to necessarily take the whole bottle, but they start taking a few pills at a time. I will tell you, there's a lot of warning signs. For example, wearing long sleeves in warm weather, they're covering up track marks. Wearing the same clothes, people who start to go down this path, their hygiene typically changes. If you see flu-like symptoms where they appear to be flu-like, and then all of a sudden it goes away, well, the flu-like symptoms are withdrawal. Typically, you know, from when we're talking about the opiates and the heroin, it is the worst type of pain. And so when we talk about why people can't just stop, the withdrawal is so painful that they use again just to make the horrible feeling go away. Yeah. And so when you see that fluctuation back and forth, I'll tell you, small amounts of money missing at first, unexplainable. People that are in the life of in line of this addiction, I will tell you this, they don't become this. Their personalities changes. Mm-hmm. They do incredible jobs at hiding this pain that they're in, and it will be things questioned. Your children, for example, might. All of a sudden, their friends change. They become more withdrawn. It could be a numerous things of why they're withdrawing. So I don't want anyone to immediately start thinking that their child or their loved one is using a substance. It's more that something's changed.
Right.
I think that's the number one thing when we're out in the community that we say, if something is your gut instincts tell you something is not right or something has changed, you really want to explore it. They're not going to come out and say, hey, I'm using. But they might start to reveal some things that that they're having trouble with. Mostly, it comes down to coping. But there'll be, you know, certain substances are really, you know, like methamphetamine, still have a lot of facial changes. Okay. There's so many different substances, different warning signs. But the real big one is really that shift in they're not really the way that they
themselves.
Were. They're not really themselves.
Something's changed.
And I think parents have a tendency to give their teenagers a lot more freedom and room as they've been growing into adulthood. And that's the time we really need to really manage and support them and interact to find out what they're doing, where they're doing, verify where they are. Most times they're going to tell you one place and there'll be another.
Yeah.
And there's just really, I think that that's one of the biggest things a parent can do is to become very engaged. And if they can't talk with them, is get them the help that they need, get them to a support person that can do that for them.
Yeah, that was actually going to be my next question. So if you see some of these things or you notice some changes in your child and you suspect that there may be some drug misuse going on, what should be your next step? What do you do next?
Well, depending on, again, remember, what's good for one family might be different for another. You could certainly always call our office.
Okay.
Our office, again, 908-782-3909. There's many resources in the community that are great places. But on a statewide, and again, that could connect you to a lot of places, depending. Mm-hmm. Governor Christie had started, it's called NJ Reach, which is a statewide central hub to collect all the information statewide of being able to call the number, which is 1-844-732-2465. And that can really help you with addiction education, be able to connect you to any type of resources a loved one might need. You can also visit their website, which is www.reachnj.gov. And you'll be able to see all the different state resources by county.
Okay.
Sometimes people feel more comfortable going for assistance in a different county mm-hmm. that they live in, which is unfortunate because of that stigma. But right. I think it takes a lot of courage to get help.
I think it does, too. All right. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back with Leslie in a couple minutes.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I knew that I would not. I feel good.
All right. And we are back now with Healthy Hunterdon with Leslie Gable from Prevention Resources. So now we want to talk a little bit about disposal.
Mm-hmm. So I know we were talking before the break about some warning signs. We've talked already at in this hour about safe storage of your medications. Again, reminding people that 70% of teens start prescription misuse from home medicine cabinets. But the safest thing you can do when the medications are no longer needed is to get them out of your home medicine cabinets. It is not safe to put them in the garbage or flush them down, you know, especially in our healthy, you know, environment that we want to keep. Is the proper way to dispose of your medications is to drop them off in one of our permanent drop-off boxes. We have over 10 of them in the community. We also have national DEA take-backs. They're all different hours of operations. If you visit our website, again, that's safecoalition.org, you'll be able to see we have 10 disposal sites around the county, as well as our senior center, our fabulous partnership with our sheriff's office visits our senior center once a month to also help seniors get rid of their medications. And if you can't make a drop box, whether you have a disability or you're home, you can contact the sheriff's office and they're happy to come assist. Like I tell you, phenomenal partnership. Again, with our sheriff, he's been a great partner to our coalition. Also, our prosecutor's office really does a lot in partnership with our agency and our community, really getting out there to try to send the message about safe storage disposal. And I do want to get a shout out to Hunterdon Pediatrics. They're a great partner of ours that started last year during their well visits, giving handouts about safe storage and disposal, so and, as well as warning signs. So we're very grateful to Hunterdon Pediatrics, as well as the Partnership for Health and the partnerships. For example, ShopRite created a great quick public service announcement online about disposal. Their pharmacies are super supportive. The pharmacy at the hospital, again, with the signs of where the disposal sites are. So Hunterdon Medical Center has been a great partner. The more people that can help disseminate this information, the better. So I just want to give a shout-out to all these partners, and I'm sure there's many more I have not mentioned, but please know that we're very grateful to everyone's help.
Absolutely. So what we're trying to say in a nutshell is everybody should be cleaning out their medicine cabinets, not keeping them in the kitchen or wherever else you're keeping them.
Shoebox. Yeah.
Get them out of your house. Once you don't need them anymore, it's time to dispose of them properly through these locations. All right, so we have about, believe it or not, we only have about 6 minutes left. Time flies. But we want to definitely talk about some very, you know, things we've seen in the news lately about vaping. So what is vaping, e-cigarettes? There's different terms. Can you talk a little bit about that?
And I want to bring this up because when you talk to our juvenile officers across the county, they will tell you that is a really serious issue that all our teens are experimenting with. Vaping devices, or you'll see them look at e-cigarettes. E-cigarette, that's separate than a vaping device.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so a vaping device is, you can put different things in there, and people have this perception that it's safe because it's a more of a vape, you know.
Like a vapor?
It's a more, it's not going the same way that, say, a traditional tobacco. But I'm here to tell you that that is not true.
Yeah.
There's a lot more research that definitely does need to be done. But what's happening with these vaping devices is people are putting marijuana oils in there. And these marijuana oils are at a high potency of THC levels. That also hides and masks the odor of marijuana. And they can take hits and the smell doesn't stay in the air. So it's very easy to conceal. These devices also, really aren't detected by smoke detectors. So it becomes it's very easy to mask. And I think the greatest concern that we have is they don't know what they're doing and what they're putting in there. Mm-hmm. And all you have to do is go on YouTube. Any parent that wants to learn a little bit more and watch what happens with these marijuana oils is significant. And we also have seen cases in New Jersey where, dealers are smart. They want you to use their substances. So they're putting other substances in these, vaping in the marijuana that people are putting in there to get them hooked. So it is not your regular joint.
Yeah, I've also heard like flavors or something.
There's different flavors that they enhance. This is all geared to get hooked at a younger age. And that's the same, you know, philosophy under these edible marijuana edibles. Incredibly concerned about the way our state is looking at the legalization of marijuana. It really, if you look at Colorado, the entire edible market's geared towards young people.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone says, oh, well, you know, it won't be for people under 21. Well, you know, we already have an alcohol problem with illegal substances, and we say not under 21. It just sends the wrong message. We could talk about another whole hour on that, which I certainly, you know, would be happy to do. But I think the greatest message out there is people are putting things in vaping devices. They don't know what's in there. It's not good for their health. It certainly impairs their judgment. And everyone says, oh, it's natural. Well, opium's natural and incredibly harmful, right? We're not going around vaping that. So I just want to send the final message that these vaping devices, these teens can get them easily online. There's lots of vaping shops that have opened up around town. It is no different than the way that the tobacco industry started when it with regards to really gearing towards getting people hooked and used. It's a moneymaker, and it's harmful.
Yeah, and I really it's even more aggravating that it's targeting young people. You know,
yes,
and I think they have, I've heard they have flavors like bubblegum and, it's just, I don't know, it's horrific.
That's the same when you mentioned the e-cigarettes. There's all different flavors, again, to make it edgy. And anyone can, you know, you have to check a box off that you're over a certain age to buy it on the internet. It's not like anyone's policing it. I will say a great move in our state is they did change the, you know, the age of buying tobacco products now, but you know, does that fall under vaping devices? You know, it's there's so many different things. But knowing that our kids have the internet access today, and most of our teens have no issue with purchasing online. So.
Yeah, it is really scary, and I think the perception from the kids is that this isn't a big deal. It's not like smoking a cigarette,
right?
And I think that's a really bad. You know, we're already seeing things like popcorn lung. And some really nasty things that are coming out of some of these devices. And like you said, all the research isn't in yet because it's new.
It's brand new.
But it's just like when cigarette smoking started, everybody thought it was safe and fine. And look at us now.
Well, there was a time when the when doctors used to prescribe tobacco as a way to calm. So they didn't know. It's just we, you know, that and that goes back a long time ago, by the way.
Yeah.
And it's the same with these vaping devices. Anything that we're inhaling in our lungs, it's not. It's not healthy for us.
Absolutely. So believe it or not, we only have a minute left, and we didn't talk too much about marijuana. Anything else you want to say about that?
I will tell you, you know, there's always this, is it a gateway? It's not a gateway. We're certainly not saying that every marijuana user will become a heroin addict, but you speak to anyone that's in recovery from heroin or an opioid, they'll tell you that 99% of the time they've used or continue to use marijuana. So I'll tell you that it's a direction of harm that we certainly don't want our teens going in.
Absolutely. And I've also heard that sometimes it can be laced with things like fentanyl and other drugs that are highly addictive and horrible.
I think we'll need to come back for part two to talk about fentanyl.
I think so. Leslie, I want to thank you for coming on the show. That's it for tonight, Healthy Hunterdon, and we'll see you next month.
Thank you.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
People are very happy with what we've done, not only on the tax bill, but also cutting of regulations. And I think also being a cheerleader for our country. You know, if you're not a cheerleader for your company or for your country, no matter what happens, it's not going to work.
President Donald Trump, as he wraps up what was a very busy day for the president, tomorrow now the president will address the World Economic Forum, this all taking place in Switzerland. The news of the flu seems to be getting worse. A new study suggests that the risk of a heart attack dramatically increases for people who are suffering from influenza. That's according to USA Today. Dr. Mark Siegel says if you haven't received your flu shot, well, you still have time to get it, and it will help.
There's still time for you to get the yearly flu vaccine. And did you know that usually 80 to 85% of the children who tragically die from the flu were not vaccinated?
For all of these stories and more, please check out USARadio.com. This is USA Radio News.
When it comes to growing my business, I've got a plan. Step one, be smarter about how I spend my money. Step two, go to my local Staples for office supplies. Why? See step one.
Staples has lots of smart ways to save your business money. Right now, get a 10-ring case of Staples brand printer paper for just $24.99, a savings of $33. So stock up and save.
Another smart move? Use a cart, because paper's kind of heavy.
Staples. Shopping smart equals saving big. Valid on SKU 513096. Ends 1/27/18. Install only.
GEICO presents eyewitness interviews with inanimate objects.
This is Brian Bruno live on the scene of a recently flooded basement, here to describe the event, a tube sock.
So I'm curled up in a cozy pile of whites when the washing machine suddenly starts shimmying and shaking. Next thing I know, we're standing in 4 inches of water.
Did you help clean up?
Sure, but I'm just one sock.
A tube sock can't help you with a flooded basement.